Who switched the price tags? It's talking about values. I've never got much past the opening statement to get deeper into the study, but values are so important. It seems like every time I talk about keeping Christian values in a world system and structure that is really has a hard sell for you to buy into its value system. Young men and women today are going to have to make choices involved in what is important. There's been a paradigm shift to wanting to follow people that were successful in life to losers, it seems like. We want to glorify losers. We have the Lindsay Lohans who have fortune and fame and all kinds of personal issues and trouble. On one hand, you have the Paris Hiltons on the other hand, who many people look up to and want to be like because of the riches and the notoriety, who has such personal issues that lives are in trouble. You have the Michael Vick situation, who had it all, a contract with millions of dollars rolling in, 27 years old with a football career that was absolutely phenomenal, one of the great quarterbacks of the NFL, that just had it all and didn't need to be involved in something that now threatens all of that. And the big question everyone's asking is why? I think I can answer that question. I believe that without God in his proper place and the proper spiritual values in one's life, I don't believe anyone is going to find satisfaction in fortune and fame, and as handsome as Michael Vick is, amen, and he looks great in his tailored suit with all the endorsements, and he plays excellent football. He's everything that a manly man is supposed to be. I'm sure the ladies think he's a grand fella, but all of that did not satisfy. He kept looking for something else. Something else. It had to be something illegal, and not only illegal, but basically immoral to see animals die like this, to see them used like this. So you see people that the world lifts up as successful, but you see people with serious personal issues. God would like that to be so put in contrast to the Christian at our least, should be able to live a higher, more fulfilling life than anyone in the world at their best. God wants Christianity not just to be set in contrast by biblical principles, but by our personal values, our personal lives. In other words, God wants you to be happy in your condition that you're in this morning if you have Jesus as your Savior. If you're drawing your strength and satisfaction from Him, God wants you to reflect that in a happiness that surpasses Michael Vick. With his stuff. Something that goes beyond the rock star, the country star. Nashville stars don't have a history of strong lives and strong bonds and strong marriages. We just saw in the city of Tampa, if you don't know it, it's on the news on the Tribune or online, and it makes news when Christians have issues. And one of the largest churches in the United States of America is in this city, and the leaders of that church have announced that they are divorcing. And there was much weeping that was deleted. There was a lot of weeping in the audience, and a gasp and sighs of almost unbelief, because a man and woman that stood in spiritual leadership are not able to demonstrate. I'm not saying this in a condemning way. I'm saying that God wants to give us legitimate victories in our life so that we can demonstrate our faith to the world about us and demonstrate a different set of values. Can you say amen? An amazing thing about talking about who switched the price tags, rediscovering the truly precious, priceless things. Before I begin this message, a man that had come from Australia, who is quoted in the Tampa Tribune, who donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to the ministry, said one of the reasons he felt for the breakdown in the husband-wife spiritual leadership of this church was that the prosperity message, this message of just wealth and just materialism alone, not that God doesn't prosper people, he does. I don't represent poverty today. God has met the needs of my life, but he's met a deeper need than the exterior. He's satisfied the deepest longings of my soul. So that I would not be detracted from that. If I had to sacrifice something of my material worth, and I don't have a lot because I don't need a lot. Amen. If you come to my home, you will not find a crystal chandelier in the foyer. In fact, you will not find a foyer. You will step directly into the living room. And my living room is a living room. There is no plastic on the couch. Amen. You can sit on the fabric. It's okay. And you can eat tater tots on it if you want to. Just pick up the crumbs when you leave. Praise God. Amen. It's not, I live in my living room. Amen. There are houses with living rooms that are not to live in. Do you realize that? Amen. I went to a friend's house one time in the living room, and you may have plastic on your couch, and that's just fine. I guarantee you got another couch to sit on somewhere. Can you say, amen? No one wants to sit on the plastic covered couch. If a couch is so beautiful you can't sit on it, I just don't see the point. But there's one room is the showcase room. I don't know when the President of the United States is coming to visit you, but I hope he gets it over with so you can relax and lighten up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But one room is a showcase room. That's not the room you live in. Amen. Then you've got the great room or the family room. That's where, you know, you can actually go and enjoy your family, enjoy each other, enjoy television, whatever you do in that room. But people get so, we get our values all twisted and all mixed up. Amen. Let me begin the way we always begin, and I'm never able to finish, and I pray that I can today. I want you to get a value system that puts Jesus in his proper perspective and place in your heart and life. Amen. I want my marriage to work. And you know, one of the reasons that it's going to work is because we both keep Jesus in his proper place in our heart. Amen. Amen. Someone said it was like a pyramid. Two people, when you're in a relationship and Jesus is the Lord of both of those people, as we grow toward the Lord, we grow closer to one another. There is an agreement and a fellowship and an intimacy that is shared with Christ that puts us in harmony with one another. When my wife's goal is to serve the Lord and to follow him as the Lord of her life, and my goal is to follow the Lord, serve the Lord and follow him as the Lord of my life, and I seek my satisfaction in him, amen, and she seeks her satisfaction in him, then we are not going to be looking outside of our marriage for someone or something else to fulfill us. Because if you seek your satisfaction in him, you're going to find it in him. And after a while, it won't be between you and them and him. It'll just be between you and him, and you won't have to worry about them anymore. What they think and how the world judges you, successful, unsuccessful, is immaterial. The man from Australia that invested so much in the ministry, he said when it became self-promoting, when the prosperity message taken to the extreme where everyone is just out for more for their self, there's a selfishness in it when it's all about me and acquiring things instead of about God and bringing him glory. Can you say amen? And when that happens, people begin to get dissatisfied and start looking outside of their relationship with the Lord for something that will satisfy, whether it's fortune or fame or a different relationship. We begin to look without because we are not fulfilled within. Everybody say, when I'm not fulfilled within, I start looking without. One of the leading Anglican theologians of the last century, remember, this is not this century, this is a previous century, was William Temple. This is what he said about a former generation's values. And if he could see ours, I can't imagine what he would say right now. He said, the world as we live in it today is like a shop window in which some mischievous person has stolen overnight and rearranged all the price tags. So the cheap things have the high price tags on them, while the really precious things are priced low. Today, the cheap stuff has the high price tag in the world's value system, while the really precious stuff is put and priced low. Family values are important. That's not just something the Christian right came up with to conflict with the system about them. Family values are vitally important. Amen. Children, amen. There's nothing you can give children and young people today any greater than seeing a husband and wife in harmony and feel that there's harmony in the home. It's a covering, amen, that no kind of designer jeans or jewelry or anything else can give. High-tech game systems and plasma TVs. Nothing can make a home healthy like a family united under Christ and united with one another. There's nothing like that. It's amazing how the Waltons was such a hit with contemporary young people. And back when it was in its heyday. Anybody ever seen the Waltons? Good night, John Boy. Amen. Remember that? Why did young people of that generation, why did they buy into a program about people living in the Great Depression that had little material wealth at all? Very few material blessings, wearing the same shirt 2 days in a row so you could wash the other one, amen, so you could wear it 2 days in a row. Incredible. And yet these young people, and they did an interview for the sociological value, seeing what is it about the Waltons that attract young people. We understand people from another generation, amen. But what about a young generation being attracted to a story about a big old family with little or no material blessings? What drew them to it? And ultimately, there was a consensus as they interviewed hip young people. I'm talking about teenagers and just beyond teens in the early 20s. What got them attracted to that? Amen. And they all gave a consensus. It all came down to when they sat down around that table with little or no material possessions, and they interacted with one another, cared about one another, communicated with one another. It attracted them. Amen. Because there's nothing in the mall that can take the place of having that kind of fulfillment at home. Nothing that you can purchase with silver or gold can take the place of a mom and dad that are stable in their relationship, that love their family, and a family that loves their parents and brothers and sisters that love and care for one another. It's nothing like that. That's the fabric of which this nation is made up, as families, and we're redefining that. The parameters are changing today. The price tags have changed. No one cares about those issues, seems like, anymore in this society, and this society is bleeding and hurting because of it. Many of the people in prison, the overwhelming majority, are people that are in prison today for crimes, and they're serving time, came from broken homes. Incredible statistic. An unstable home life has caused people to go out looking for other things and not finding the guidance that they need. So the great task of the church, which is more urgent than ever, is one, to define what those really precious things are. I want to tell you, we sing a song around here, more precious than silver, more costly than gold, is the blood of my Savior that purchased my soul. How many believe that the blood of Jesus is precious blood? It should be presented that way. We should live our lives that way to demonstrate that fact, to define what those really precious things are. And that's what we're going to begin to do this morning, to teach them to our children and to young believers. Did you know young believers are our children spiritually? And we're supposed to be examples to them in the way that we live and what our values are. It's not just what we're saying from a pulpit. It's what our personal life represents. I can't just say something from the pulpit and live something different and present values as a pastor. I can't do that. My lifestyle has to represent my values. Amen. I'm traveling light because I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm not going to compromise my faith to get more stuff. And I'm grateful for the stuff I've got. But how many know your life should be more than stuff? If it's not more than stuff, you'll never have enough stuff to satisfy you. We see marriages breaking down. We see ministries breaking down. We see the lure of wealth. Remember who brought that to Jesus? Just wealth for the sake of wealth? Listen, let me clarify something today. If you give, it's going to be given to you. But what's going to be given to you goes beyond the material. Amen. It's not just the material. It's amazing when we think through. The Bible said to be spiritually minded, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. And what else is it? It's peace. It's fulfillment. It's contentment. It's peace within. Amen. It's something that nothing you can acquire can ever give you. Because the people have acquired what you think will satisfy you are not satisfied. They're still looking more, ever getting, but never having enough. It's never enough. People talk about faith in terms of material possessions. I heard a prominent preacher not too long ago say he started out with Volkswagen faith and it graduated to Cadillac faith and then it graduated to Rolls Royce faith and now it's going beyond Rolls Royce faith that I have enough money and wealth to go to a dealership, an automobile manufacturer, and have them custom make an automobile for me. And I thought, when did faith get defined simply in the material? Where did the shift come? When did the paradigm change? It changed when we bought in to a world view. The carnal mind is enmity against God. To be carnally minded, the Bible said, spiritually is devastating. It's death. But to be spiritually minded, to have a spiritual value system is what? It's life and, everybody say, peace. It's peace, contentment. It's marked by contentment within. There's a scripture that's under the heading, Set Free from the Prison of Want. It's Psalm 23, God promised to be a shepherd. David said this about his shepherd God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Normally when we hear that, we think about the next verse, because he makes me to lay down in green pasture. It's because of the stuff that he gives me. That's really secondary to what David's talking about. Primarily, it's not the stuff that God is providing for David. It's the fact that his God is his shepherd that is so satisfying to his soul. Amen. Listen to this. The blessing of the Lord. And sometimes it involves stuff. But it's not the stuff that we should be so grateful for. It's the blessing of the Lord. Amen. The blessing of the Lord. His good favor. Say his good favor.
His good favor.
The blessing of the Lord. It. What's the subject? The blessing. Not what the blessing may bring us, but the blessing itself. God's good favor. God's acceptance. God's love. God's commitment to us to never leave us nor forsake us. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh truly rich. Hallelujah. Amen. Because of the blessing of the Lord, these blessings, plural, shall come upon you and overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Amen. All of these material things can come to you, but it's not the stuff. It's the favor of the Lord. That is the greater blessing. Can you say amen? The blessing of the Lord, it, the blessing, maketh truly rich. And he, listen to this, you that are sorrowful and cast down today, he addeth no sorrow with it. He wants you to begin to rejoice and rejoin the ranks of the people who came into his house to praise him this morning. Can you say amen? Not to sit here and wait on a liver shiver. Not to sit here and wait and see if the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. To come in with a grateful heart. And be stimulated by gratefulness for what you have in Jesus. Can you say amen? When is gratefulness going to stimulate our emotions? Amen. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. You will be amazed at what the Lord has done. I remember one Sunday morning we were talking about that. And I had just read the true story of a leper colony. That had come to know Christ and the leprosy had been cured, but the damage that leprosy had done to these people was still evident, because today there is a cure for leprosy, but there's no cure when the fingers have been eaten away and gone. And there was a woman with two fingers on one hand and no fingers on the other hand, a finger and a thumb on one hand. And he came, the missionary came and said, what would you like to hear us sing today? They were choosing songs that they enjoyed. And the lady with the one hand with the two fingers on it that was so marred by leprosy in other places of her body, lifted that hand with Christ in her heart and a grateful heart for having Jesus in her heart. Lifted that hand with the one finger and the one thumb and said, "Can we sing, count your many blessings?" Isn't that incredible? There are people in here. How many? Wiggle your fingers if you got them. Hallelujah. Isn't it good that you have fingers you can wiggle today? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of the people, I don't know if you can wiggle your nose. Some of the people had their noses eaten away by leprosy. Amen. But they were singing, count your many blessings. Because they had Christ in his proper place and perspective in their heart. And honey, if you can praise God, amen, with just two fingers on your hand, and you can praise God without a real nose on your face, horribly disfigured, the people that the world would look down upon and shy away from, but if you can find the peace of God in your heart to praise him for your soul and the promise of eternal life in the world to come and the peace that passes all understanding in this world, because I look out at people that have everything going for them externally. They're handsome or they're beautiful, and some of them are rich, and some of them are rich, but they don't know they're rich. They're living in homes that the third world can't hardly dream of ever living in. Statistically, if you got up this morning with a little bit of money in the bank, we're talking about a little bit, and enough money in your pocket to go out to any restaurant you choose and eat today, you're in the top 10% of everybody in this world. You are in the top 10%. You may not think you are when you drive by some of the homes and some of the new communities, but you are in the top 10%, amen, compared to the rest of the world. Amen. And don't think for one minute that just riches and fame is going to make a good marriage and going to make great Christians and going to bring glory. Listen, when we are devastated, just like the world is, amen, let me tell you something. That is not victory. I don't care if you drive a limousine. I don't care if you wear Tiffany jewels. I don't care if you wear suits that are custom made. I'm telling you, without Jesus satisfying your soul, you're going to be reaching out for something, just like the world is reaching out for something. And there's all kinds of addiction. We look down on the cocaine addicted and the crack cocaine addicted, and we look down on the heroin addicted, and we look down on the alcohol addicted, and we look down on. But listen, the riches has a lure to it that can actually get you addicted to acquiring more and more because it cannot ever satisfy. The Bible spoke in the New Testament of the deceitfulness of riches choking the very word of God and causing it to become unfruitful in one's life. Can you say amen? One of the products of the word of God is peace. Great peace have they that love thy law, the Old Testament said. Great peace have they that choose to follow God and cause their life and their values to be set because of their commitment to him. Abraham had peace. He didn't have anything to prove to anyone. The richest man of his day. And he lived in tents because he sought a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He said, there's nothing I can build here will satisfy my heart, and I know it, so why build it? I have a roof over my head. I have my wonderful wife. God has blessed me with great sons. He said, I'm happy. I don't need a showcase to convince anyone of anything. God is my king. Heaven is my home.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. So with God as my king and heaven my home, I have nothing to prove here on earth except that I love my king and I can't wait to get home. So he looked for a city. We used to sing it back in the old camp meeting days. Looking for a city where we'll never die, where the sated millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Them's good values. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come, O Holy Spirit. All our hopes renew. When your hope is in heaven, he'll constantly renew that hope. When your hope is in Jesus, he'll constantly renew that hope. Psalm 100 said, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And the blessing of the Lord, what happens? It maketh rich. And He maketh me to lay down in green pasture. Hallelujah. Max Lucado wrote, and I like this quote, what keeps you from real joy? Take a little test today. What keeps you from real joy? You say, Brother Bimble, what makes you think I don't have real joy? Well, maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But I think it's time to be honest about real joy in the Church of Jesus Christ. I've been a pastor for 30 years. You can't come in here with a put-on smile, because after a while you forget to put it on. And it goes away like the Cheshire Cat and Alice of Wonderland. It fades. All of this stuff fades if it isn't genuine and authentic. Can you say amen? It fades. If you're overwhelmed by your circumstances, you don't have real joy. Thank you for the amen. Say amen. Go ahead. Just humor me. I know you're incriminating yourself, but we're honest here. We want to do business with God. If you're overwhelmed by your circumstances, if I'm overwhelmed by mine, I've lost the real joy. How do you know, Brother Venable? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength to do what? To bear up under those circumstances without losing your joy. You need to guard the joy of the Lord. You need to learn to laugh because your captivity has been turned. And when God turned the captivity of Zion, what happened? What happened? Their mouth was filled with song and their tongue with laughter. The Bible said, blessed are they who know the, what kind of sound from God's camp? The joyful sound. Not the mournful sound, but the joyful sound. It's okay to mourn, but not to stay in mourning. Blessed are they that mourn, for what's going to happen? What's God going to do concerning His people when their hearts are broken? They shall be comforted. How do you know? Because He sent a comforter. We're not alone down here. The Holy Spirit has come. Amen? We need the joy of Jesus, the joy of salvation, the peace of God, the contentment that He wants to give us in our heart and life. I'm not pointing out things to hurt anybody today. I'm pointing out the fact that you can be the greatest preachers in the world, teachers in the world, but if you don't have fulfillment in Christ, if you lose that along the way, you're going to go looking just like the world is looking, and you're going to fall into sin just like the world falls into sin. Jimmy Swaggart was at the apex of his preaching career. The door, before the revival broke, the door to China had just come open to Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. They had permission to preach the gospel by the media in China when his falling came. Amen? And let me tell you something. The anointing doesn't take the place of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. During the actual failure, the preaching never skipped a beat. The anointing never stopped coming. Can you say amen? The gifts and calling of God are what? Without repentance. God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't give and take it away. If you were called of the Lord, that call will remain on you. Whether you follow it, whether you fulfill it, that call is upon you. Can you say amen? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The Spirit stayed on Samson, didn't it? Even when he was in compromise, but finally, amen, God had to pull that back. Finally, it had to be pulled back. But it was a long time coming, and Samson really continued in sin until he lost it all. But someone said, Tony Evans said, and I love his saying, I'm going to quote it over and over, it's okay to hit rock bottom as long as that rock is Jesus Christ that you fall upon. You know what the scripture said in the New Testament? It said, whoever falls on this rock shall be broken. And a lot of times out of that brokenness comes the greater blessedness. God can take broken people and mend them, broken marriages and fix them, broken hearts and heal them. Can you say that? God is a master of taking the broken and making it whole. Giving beauty for ashes. And what comes after beauty for ashes? The oil of joy for mourning. Can you say amen? The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the what? The spirit of heaviness. think the church is in mourning. What happened? Amen. Jesus didn't die and stay dead. He was only died for 3 days, and on the third he rose again. Amen. Haven't you heard the song, Jesus is alive and well? Jesus is alive and well. Say it with me. Jesus is alive and well. Now, I know you won't get that by looking at some Christians. Amen. You would think that not only did Jesus die, but their old dog Trey passed away. Feed Jake. Can you say amen? Oh, whatever you do. Remember that? You'd think somehow or another we're serving a Christ that was martyred and we're still mourning over the fact that they killed him. He said, no man takes my life from me. I'm not being killed by Rome. I'm not being killed by Pilate. I'm not being killed by this angry crowd. I'm laying down my life so that I can save. And if I have the power to lay it down, I've got the power to take it up again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me run this by you. Take this test with me this morning. How many would like to get free from the prison of want? To be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. Well, if he's all you want, you shall not want anymore. When Christ becomes your everything, you will need nothing. Having food and raiment, and your father knows what you have need of. Can you say amen? Your father knows. Jesus said you will never inform God of a need that you have. He already knows what you need. And he says, get the kingdom first so I can meet your need. Starting with the deepest need of all, and that's the need of fulfillment within. I'll take care of what you eat, drink, and put on. The whole world is thinking about that. You think about what you need within. God said, I will meet every need without. I'm happy with my home. 1,250 foot of happiness is better than 3,000 feet. What is this building right here? It's beyond. Is it 25? Yeah, I think it is 2,500 square feet. It's double. Amen. This would make great parsonage, don't you think? Oh, well, moving right along. I just thought I'd run that by you. It could be a parsonage. It was a parsonage. It was when we bought it, it was a children's home, then a parsonage. This was the parsonage. There was a grand piano in the master bedroom. Yes, a grand piano. No, I don't think it was a baby grand. It was the big boy back sitting in there with the bedroom suit. It was a huge room back there in that room. Incredible place for the pastor to live. That's great. Amen. I would live in it. It would be just fine with me to have a house this big, but I wouldn't be any happier in it. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, I wouldn't be any happier. You can't get no happier than I was on the way to church this morning. Amen. I have to get happy before I get here because I don't know if anyone else is going to be happy or not. Can you say, man, I don't know what kind of week you had. So I don't come here to see if we're going to have a happy time or not. I'll get happy in Jesus. How did you get happy? Because I got a helper. I got a helper. With all of my troubles and problems, I have help. There is one called alongside to help. And he helps me. Can you say, man? And happy is the man. Say it with me. Happy. Listen, happiness can't be based on happenings because you're going to have some things that happen that are going to have all the potential to make you unhappy. Happiness is not based on happenings. Say it with me. Happiness is not based on happenings. Come on, if you want to get into the fairy tale stuff, you don't belong in this world. You belong in a cartoon. Can you say, man, you belong in an animated movie from Pixar or Disney World, amen, where the prince comes? Oh, yes, you're going to find your prince. No, you're not. Oh, there's no men that are princes. Oh, and while you're laughing about stinky-feeted men, amen, let me tell you something about ladies. As wonderful as you are, there are no true princesses of the female gender. Not the fairy tale kind. Sleeping Beauty's going to wake up. And you're going to wish she was sleeping again. Amen. There will be times you say, boy, if I just let her sleep. She's so sweet when she's sleeping. And it's so quiet around here. Anyway, moving right along. That's a male thing. We joke about it. You joke about us. We love you with all of our heart. Hallelujah. But this fairy tale marriage, fairy tale world, where the prince, handsome prince, rescues the princess who gives her heart to the prince, and they go on to this wonderful white steed. He called me a steed. And they run all the way to the castle, and they live in this castle. And what is the end to every fairy tale? They live happily. How long? Ever after. Well, there couldn't be any happenings going on, could there? There couldn't be any happenings. The only way to live happily ever after is to have no happenings, because if something happens, and it will happen, there things are going to happen. Amen? How many know? I don't think about the bumper sticker, but things are going to happen. Can you say amen? How many know as a Christian, things are still, yeah, you're thinking about it. I knew you would. I shouldn't have even went to the bumper sticker. But amen, things are going to happen. Amen? And when it happens, it's going to affect your happiness unless you have a helper when the things begin to happen. Because you can't stop things happening, but you can draw strength from the one who promised to help you when it does happen. Can you say amen? Things are going to happen to make you sad. He's called alongside to help you when that day comes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Happy is the man. Happy is the man that has a happily ever after fairy tale life. No, happy is the man that has the Lord God of Jacob, this covenant keeping God, for his help. Help. And who's the Holy Spirit? One paraclete, one who stands in behalf of another, to put it very succinctly and plainly, one called along. Side to help, not just to anoint, hallelujah, not just to give a liberation, but to actually communicate the love and the strength of Jesus into your heart and life to help you with the happenings of life. People are going to lose loved ones. Things are going to happen like that in a fallen world. A fallen world is going to be filled with bad happenings, but the Holy Spirit's come to help us when it happens. And I've been to funerals that were absolute celebrations. Celebrations of a life that did not end with death, but a life that had continued to live on a higher level. The Chinese were Christians are so convinced of this message of it being better there than here, that a missionary who came back to an area where he had preached was asking about someone's came to a home of one of the church leaders and said, Where's your mother-in-law? And they said, oh, we didn't tell you. She's with Jesus. And you know, there was excitement. She's with Jesus. She was up in years, and he was excited. She's with Jesus. I mean, she's with Jesus? Yes, she passed away. Oh, I'm sorry you couldn't be here for the celebration. Now, listen, there are people that celebrate mother-in-law's going away in other circumstances, but this was different. Amen. Come on, this was different. This was celebrating a saint that had went to live with Jesus in a place called heaven where no sickness and aging or separate, nothing, pain, tears are wiped away. Amen. Amen. Paul said, I'm a strait betwixt two. I'm here with a ministry, but I've seen that place. I knew a man, whether in the body or out, I knoweth not. He was careful not to write books or take personal pride in something that was unique to him as a Christian. But he shared a little glimpse of it with us. I knew a man, speaking of himself, whether in the body or out. I don't know whether God took me out, whether he took me physically up. All I know is when I closed my eyes and went to sleep, I was here. When I opened them, I was there in his presence. Can you say amen? And he said, I saw things. And I heard things. And ever since he came back to the earth, and he did come back to the earth, he said, I've never been the same. I am now in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, literally far better there than here. Can you say amen? Yeah. David said, though, that I had fainted in Psalm 27, unless I believed to see the goodness of God, not just when we get there, but in the land of the living. Everybody say, in the land of the living. Let me ask you these questions. Happiness can't be based on happenings, or we'll never find happiness consistently. Happiness has to be based on having help from God and receiving that help from God and trusting Him to help us. Some of you are melancholics. How do you know? It's because of that dark cloud that hangs over you everywhere you go. There's a guy in a melancholy, somebody that's got a character like that. Amen. Glass of water, someone brings it to me. There's two ways to see this glass in a moment. You know what a melancholy does when he sees that glass? A pessimist. Oh, that thing's half empty. It's half empty. And you know, both the pessimist, the optimist, the melancholy, and the happy person, they're both right. It's according to your perspective. It's what changes everything. It is half empty. But it's also something else true about this glass. It's half full, too. Then you say, amen? It's half empty, and it is half full. How many know either statement is true? But only one is going to promote your happiness. Seeing it half empty is not going to make you happy. Seeing it half full is. Because you're going to be looking at the blessing of it. Amen? 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 God can do a lot with a half full glass. God can do a lot with a cruse of oil. One little bottle. Amen. God is so gracious. God can do a lot with a poor boy's lunch. Amen? There's potential if people will keep their faith and keep their hope and let God speak to their heart. Amen? It's how you look at things. Church under the gun, James chapter 1. Listen to this. My beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Everybody say attitude will determine outcome. Attitude will determine the outcome. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Cooperate with the trial. Keep a good attitude. Amen. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom in this area of trials and happenings that we don't understand, let him ask of God that giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask in the absolute certainty. God is in control. God is sovereign. God has a plan. God has a purpose in mind. For he that doubteth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in how many of his ways? Everything. Says, I'll see you at 6 o'clock. Don't count on it. He may change his mind before 6 p.m. Hello? I'll see you at church Sunday, brother. Tell me about it. There are some people I can say, they'll be there. Unless they're in a hospital or a funeral home, they'll be there. And then there's other people I say, I'll believe that when I see them coming through the door. Some people say, you can count on me. And I say, yeah, tell me about it. I've counted on them before. And I found out that double-mindedness affects everything in their life. It'll even affect your performance on your job. Amen? It'll perfect. It'll, one day you're on, the next day you're off. One day God is great, the next thing I'm not so sure. The one day I can get through anything with Jesus, the next day I don't know if I can make it even with the Lord. Double-mindedness. God wants to change it. And He wants to begin to do it by satisfying that deep longing of your heart for peace and contentment. If you can be happy where you are today with Jesus in your heart, you can overcome happenings in your life. Amen? Amen? You see, will you take this test with me this morning? Are we in this together? Is it time for honesty? Real joy? What keeps us from real joy and fulfillment? How would you fill in the blank? I will be happy when I'm healed of every malady. I'm promoted. I'll be happy when I'm rich. I'll be happy when I own my own home. I'll be happy when I get my car paid off. Now, if you put in the blank, if you put in your blank, if what you put in your blank happened, would you be truly happy? I know people that have a goal that they think will make them happy. They're Christian, but they achieve the goal and they're not happy. Man came to our church that was unhappy within. He told me of his goals. He said, I wanted three things to accomplish. He said, I wanted to buy a home in a particular community, because that means I've arrived somewhere. That would make me happy to say I've achieved this. Number two, I want a brand new car. Brand new cars are nice. They smell good. There's even a scent that you can get at the car wash called new car. You can put in your jalopy and pretend. Can you say amen? Just, it's aromatherapy. There is a new car scent. There's coconut, pina. I like pina colada because I like all things pineapple and coconut. Amen. Praise God. I do. I like the tropical stuff. Amen. But there's an actual supposedly new car scent. Anybody ever smelled a brand new car? Sit down in it. Yeah, one time. One time we did that. Once in our lifetime. Amen. Happiness. Would it make you happy? He said, I wanted a home in this particular community, and I wanted a car, a brand new car, achieve that. And I wanted to go to that church, because it's one of the more prominent Pentecostal churches in the city, the thousands of people attending. So he achieved those three things. And he heard a tape and came to our lowly little old church down in Sulphur Springs and was chided by his friends that went to the larger church for coming there, for slumming, if you please, to an independent Pentecostal ministry. Why did he come? He achieved that. He went to the fine church. He had the fine home. He's a Christian man. He has the fine car. What was missing? What was missing was something he heard in that tape. And that was the inner fulfillment that Christ offers. It's not just all the outward, even in sitting in the pew of a church where someone's reading from a Bible very beautifully. By the way, the leadership of that church broke down too. Because just being big don't mean it's making you happy. Just the wealth of it, the influence of it, don't mean the preacher's happy. And when he reaches out beyond Christ and he begins to violate not only spiritual law but moral law, he's going to fail. And if the blind lead the blind, how many are going to end up in that ditch of defeat? Everybody that follows the blind. We need people today with some spiritual vision, spiritual understanding, spiritual value system, spiritual insight. We need leaders like Abraham, who had the wealth to build a great kingdom of his own, but he said, I'm looking for a city that's better than anything can build upon the earth, a city that storms can't devastate, floods can't destroy, a city that has foundations, that is eternal, that God himself has built. He was living for heaven instead of looking for opulence on earth. The sexual crimes of spiritual leadership in great organizations that should be standing for what is right have devastated and decimated the faith in the clergy in our generation. Wreaked havoc because men of the cloth were not men of spiritual relationship with God, that it could fulfill them. And Satan baited them with sin, and they took the bait. And lives are destroyed, and that's a reality in the 21st century. David looked at anointed people. Saul was anointed to be a king. Jonathan was anointed. And when they failed in battle, these great leaders who God gave great supernatural victories to in battle, David cried out, how art the mighty fallen? It's one thing when the weak fall, but when those that God has supported, God has anointed, God has strengthened to win, when they fall, he said, how art the mighty fallen? They were swift. This is what the anointing will do for you. They were swift as eagles in battle. Daughters of Jerusalem, they clothed you with riches from winning these battles. Publish it not in Gath. Tell it not in Ashkelon. These are the capital cities of the Philistines. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice at the defeat of God's leadership. And if leaders of the caliber of some of the leaders that are failing today with such powerful anointings can fail, we need to take an inventory. Can you say amen? If you're not happy in Jesus today, there's an enemy that's going to offer you something. Come on, if you haven't found it in the Lord, there is an enemy. Somebody he's going to send to you, something he's going to tell you that it's worth the compromise to find the fulfillment. Every man is tempted, the Bible said, when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. God wants you to find it in him. The greatest buffer against temptation is not just saying no. Amen. It's being so fulfilled in Christ. We wouldn't give that up for what the devil is offering for anything. I wouldn't give up this little pulpit to perform. Literally perform at a huge church full of phonies that are just there for what they can get materially. I wouldn't give up this pulpit to go to a church like that this morning. God is my witness, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't give up this pulpit to perform on a stage before all these endearing fans in Las Vegas. Amen. How many know on one of the channels this has been Elvis week? And they're playing Elvis movies all week long. Amen. And everybody, at one point, and there's still Elvis worshipers. How many know there's Elvis worshipers out there? Amen. That just live for Elvis, the pelvis. Amen. And listen to me. Elvis didn't find it, honey. He didn't get it with all the adoration and all the fame and all the godlike worship that was given him. He did not find it. Do you hear me? John Lennon, amen, at one time made a statement when all the adoring fans were out there and young ladies swooning when they said, I want to hold your hand. Amen. What a difference. And we thought they were bad boys from England corrupting our society. Honey, I wish we could go back to some songs that said, I want to hold your hand. Can you say amen? Somebody pulls up with the rap song going or some of the contemporary songs and you hear every kind of, you know, you can't help but hear it. But let me tell you something. John Lennon said, we are more popular than Jesus Christ because they saw the enthusiasm of adoring fans everywhere they went in America. But John Lennon was an alcoholic, addicted to alcohol. He couldn't live without alcohol. Amen. All of the fortune and all the fame did not bring fulfillment to Mr. John Lennon. Can you say amen? I'm so glad to be a teetotaler this morning. I'm glad, amen, to be alcohol free. I'm glad the stimulant that, and oh, it doesn't mean I'm without stimulation. It doesn't mean that I don't get high. In fact, I feel a mild inebriation upon me at this very moment. Can you say amen? I feel, listen to me, I'm telling you, amen, I know what it is to drink a little bit, to get happy. There's even a happy hour. It used to be between 5 and 7, amen. So listen, folks, if you can get enough booze in you from 5 to 7, the world says you can be happy. You can forget your troubles and drown them. Honey, alcohol has never drowned any trouble. It's drowned a lot of people. But there's a God who said, call upon me in the time of trouble. I will deliver you. And not only will you be delivered, he said, but you will glorify me when you are delivered. Can you say amen? Happy is the man that has the Lord God of Jacob or the covenant God of Israel as his help. And happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Be great to see America come back to God. Amen. Lay down the booze. Lay down the drugs. Find happiness in their family. Happiness in their children. Happiness in their relationship with their wife or husband again. Happy with their home. Happy with their vehicle. Happy with their legs. They had to go into sports arenas that they were putting off renovating. And renovate them. Not because they were falling down, but because the places you were to sit were too narrow. Because we're getting wider in America. We're a nation of indulgence. Can you say amen? We are a nation of indulgence. We don't just have gas problems because one of the reasons China has become an industrialized nation and they're sucking it up. And I mean, they're sucking it up. Amen. They are sucking so much fuel into China. They're not out in the rice paddies anymore. They're making dog food and toys, and they're supplying Walmart. Can you say, man? Are you listening to me? They are an industrial nation now, and industrial nations need fuel for their industry. Amen. It's a mighty industrial force. But also, the consumer in America is never satisfied. It's never satisfied. Amen. We're going to drive from home to work in a truck that is so huge you almost need a stepladder to get in. It's a gas-drinking gas hog. It's got a Hemi in it. It's got an engine. We don't even have anything to pull with that sucker. Can you say amen? We're too busy to pull something with it. We don't pull no truck. We just got to have it because it's bigger than that one. Which one do you want? What's the biggest one you got? That sucker right there, that thing, you could pull a 70-foot trailer filled with fertilizer. Amen. I'll take it. Why do we take it? Because we're looking for something. We got to have something. We got homes with 5 bathrooms and 4 bedrooms. Go figure. Can you say, man? I'm serious. I went online one time. You could find my house online if you want to. I could find yours, amen, and see what it's worth on market value. I went into some of the pro football players here in Tampa on the Tampa Bay Bucks. Just for fun, I went to some of their homes and saw what they had. You'd be amazed at some of these houses these guys own. Sapp used to live here. Warren Sapp. Checked out his house. It's huge. It is humongous. I mean, you know, it's absolutely amazing. Amen. We're a consumer-driven society. We can't get enough. And we got a message out there that says what you really need is more. You want to really be happy? Be like me. Well, if they're so happy, amen, why do they need more? If Jesus satisfies, why are we looking for more? Why are we not grateful for what we have in Christ and having food and raiment and Him? Why can't we find contentment? Because we're in a value system that says you need this, you've got to have. That's how marketing works. Amen. You've got to have this. And if you think that's good, you've got to have this. The fashion industry is going to change fashions. What's in is going to change. It's so that this tie needs to be more narrow, or it needs to be wider. Certain suits will come in and go out, and then they'll go full circle. When they can't think nothing up, they'll come back again. I say, hang on to what you got. A few years, it'll come full circle. Remember when short hair was out and long hair was in? What happened? It went from the long hair. When everybody accepted the long hair, people said, if they're accepting it, I want mine shaved. And then we went to short hair. Amen. Wait long enough, long hair will come back. Amen. Longer hair. You got longer hair. That's good because that's kind of coming back now. Amen. Amen. You should have seen me with sideburns like Elvis. Preachers actually wore Elvis sideburns. I had and you should have seen me in a teenager what was in then. Amen. I had a flat top on top, long on the side, so it would come together in the back. That's called a duck tail for you young folks. Amen. And you pull it. Oh, yeah, you pull it back, and then you take your comb and go straight down, and that pulls these two long areas right down to a peak like that. And that's called a ducktail. Amen. And the flat top was a Hollywood flat top. And having it come back long on the sides was called fender skirts. So I was getting much older and out of high school, and I went into a barber shop, and a guy says, I haven't seen one of those in years. And I'd never heard it named. I said, one of what? He said, one of those hairstyles. And he was looking at me kind of weird. He said, a Hollywood flat top with fender skirts and a ducktail. I said, give me a regular haircut. I want to fit in, you know. If I'm that far out, I want to fit in. look like an old rocker from the 50s. Amen. Oh, by the way, I let it grow long in the front. You could do that too. They didn't have a name for that. I don't think you could come up with one. But then you let, it was flat on the top, but this front part here, that it wasn't flat. You let it grow long and curl it over and let it hang down in a peak about right here. Yeah. It takes lots of grease. Literally, you got to get some greasy kid stuff and put on your hair. Today, you know what we call the greasy kid stuff today? We call it, what is that stuff that makes you spiked hair? Gel. Yeah, we call it gel. We called it Vaseline back then. Yeah. Amen. We didn't have all these gels and stuff. You just get you a gob of Vaseline petroleum jelly and you put it right here and the sun comes out on it, and when the sweat starts running, that stuff starts running, and I mean it glisten. And you talk about slick. When they call somebody slick, it's because you were slick. And I was slick, but I got the chick. Can you say amen? She fell for my Hollywood flat top. She fell for it. Amen. She just said, ah. Oh, it was the motorcycle. Okay, I thought it was the hair all the time. Max said, I would like us to go to a prison that's the most populated prison in the world. I'm going to take you on a tour of the most populated prison in the world. There are more residents there than there are resources. These inmates say they are overworked and underfed. The prison has more people in it, is more oppressive and more permanent than any other prison that exists. The walls are bare and the bunks are hard. Most that are in this prison are there for life. Some get out for a short while, but they seem to always return. Even though it's an overcrowded facility, the people want to be there. They're there by choice. What do you think this prison's name would be called if there were a sign over the door as you enter in? It would be in four big letters. The prison of W-A-N-T. The prison of want. See, David had got free from that prison. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me again. The Lord is my shepherd. Having God as my shepherd satisfies my soul, gives me peace in my heart, joy in my spirit. I don't want anything else. Many, he said, that are not satisfied with life are encased in the prison of want. They always want something more. It has to be bigger, nicer, faster, greater. It does not have to be much, just a little more than what they have. One thing more, like a new job, a new car, a new friend, a new relationship, a new wife, a new husband. When that one comes, they will be happy. Once the happiness comes, they'll leave the prison of want. But then it happens. The car loses its new smell. The job becomes routine and not a challenge. The neighbor buys a newer, bigger screen TV. And the new friend becomes dull. And the new relationship wears old. So they return to the prison of want willingly. Let me ask you, do you feel better when you have more or worse when you are in need? Your happiness is dependent on what you deposit, drive, drink, or digest. You are in the prison of want. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. It's a man named David came to tell us the secret of satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, David is saying he found the pasture where the discontent goes to die. Where discontent goes to die. What I have in God is greater than what I don't have in this life. Let's think about the things we own. The car you drive, the house you live in, the clothes you have in your closet. And maybe the stocks you've bought. All that stuff. What about that stuff? Number one, all of that stuff is not really yours. Take a trip to the funeral home. and look at whoever's laying it. Don't matter how much stuff they have. I'm going to tell you something. It's not theirs. They don't take it with them. Can you say amen? How much stuff did he leave behind when he dies? His estate man said all of it. Amen? How much do you leave behind? All of it. You know, what we really need is what Jesus came to give us, and that's life, and that more abundantly, because it's eternal life, and it's life that finds its fulfillment in God and not in stuff. Said that three men died. Or three men were asked the question, if you were to die tomorrow, what would you want to be remembered? What would you want them to say at your funeral? The first man said, I would like them to say that I am a provider, that I have provided for my family and worked hard all my life, and I've been a great provider, and I have sacrificed to send my kids to college, and I'd like that to be my legacy when I die. The second man said, I have been a giver. I have given to this orphanage. I've given to that church. I have given to this food organization to feed the hungry, and I would like that mentioned when I die. And they came to the third man and said, and what would you like mentioned about how you lived your life when you die? He said, I would like them to say at the funeral, look, he's moving. In other words, death is going to cancel whatever they're saying about you at your funeral. I want to live forever. Amen. Can you say amen? Yes. Well, Christian, let me tell you something. Jesus said, he that hath the Son yes. is going to live forever.
Yes.
Honey, don't let this life get you down when you got that life to look
amen.
Forward to. Amen?
Yes.
You're going through some things here, but when we get there, that is gone forever, the Scripture said.
Yes,
all of that is gone forever. So Paul said the trials, the tests, the temptation of this life are not worthy to be compared
amen.
To what we have to look forward to.
Amen.
Can you say amen? So why do we compare it? Why don't we get past it? Why don't we come to church every day and say, I'm going to rejoice in my God, not because it's my duty, not because it's my job, not because other Christians expect me to, but because in my heart I hold what I have of such value. My worship is part of the worship that I place on the things that God has given me in Jesus Christ. The world didn't give this to me. The world can't take it from me. Can you say amen? And number two, not only is all that stuff not yours, all that stuff is not you. How many know all that stuff is not you? You're not defined. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. You're not defined. See, that's what happened with child stars that got so fouled up and messed up. Almost 100% of them really fouled up in adulthood. Why were they so sweet and innocent as child and grew up to be alcoholics and drug addicts? What went wrong? They were so sweet and happy on that program because they couldn't handle being like you and me. When the fame stopped, fame is addictive.
Yes,
and when the fame stopped, where do you get your fix? If you're just selling someone a hammer down at Home Depot, no one's going to want your autograph anymore. But thank God for the man selling the hammer at Home Depot and taking care of his family. And if he worships his God on top of that, he don't need to sign autographs. Isn't it good to get rid of the need for the world to embrace you? And the egotism and say, thank God I have Jesus Christ. Happy is the man that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. Will you stand to your feet today? How many want to be truly happy in this room? In your relationship with the Lord?